Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well.
Exciting show again.
Yeah, and Leanne Langford put this thing together over
once
at ASTD.
Again.
She's our best booking agent. We get the best talent.
We don't have to do anything.
I know, and I love it. We just show up and look pretty. Nothing to it, right?
It's like magic.
So this is another Atlanta Workplace Learning Radio special. And we have folks from ASTD, the Georgia Center for Nonprofits. We got Designs to Perform. And so we got lots of folks to talk to about training and probably some other cool topics.
Yes, and we've had a busy week.
We have. How many remote broadcasts have we done lately?
I don't know. It seems like one every 3 or 4 days. But the last one we did was especially exciting. It was called Startup Lounge, and it was all startups, and it was a bunch of investors and startups, people trying to raise money and people who had money to invest in small business. So it's exciting to be around that group. It's very inspirational. A lot of young people that have, you know, high hopes and dreams, and they're out there battling. They're creating technology companies, and there's a bunch of people that want to invest in them.
Well, it was a lot of fun. The interviews are insightful. These are people that are inspired. They're passionate. They're out there trying to help people. And you meet sometimes some very young people with a lot of money, and they genuinely, instead of retiring on their yacht, they want to help other people out. And that was a fun conversation.
Yeah, one 28-year-old that's retired, or could be if he wanted to.
Right.
Started a company in high school.
And there was that shrimp bowl. There was a bottomless shrimp bowl. So that was
worth going just for that.
But this is going to be fun too. Got some smart, passionate folks in this room as well. First up on the show this morning, we are going to visit with the Vice President of Marketing for the Greater Atlanta Chapter of ASTD, Miss Jennifer Williams. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and I love the title. I borrowed that from Leanne. Leanne, would you like to then be? Our titles are pretty close and similar. I'm actually the VP of Community Involvement with ASTD, and the group itself is designed, the Community Involvement Group is a part of the ASTD Atlanta chapter, and it's designed to give members an opportunity to participate in community involvement activities around the city.
And so what compelled you to join this organization and to take on this role?
Wow, that's a great question. So I think I always say to people I'm a lifetime volunteer. I think I started when I was a kid. And so I think it's just grown into adulthood. And it was a natural extension of the work I do in the learning and development profession. So joined the organization just to learn more about my trade and then became involved in community involvement to figure out how do we do that same kind of work with nonprofit organizations.
So you're working in a corporate environment in your day job. And then you're involved in ASTD, and then now you're kind of leveraging that to get involved in the nonprofits as well?
Yes, you got it exactly right.
Now, can you talk about, like, why that's so important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Having worked with nonprofits for a number of years, one of the things we know nonprofits struggle with is funding to be able to do lots of creative things. Sometimes they have just enough money to keep the lights on and to manage their programs and services, but don't have funds to help develop their staff, provide training and development to their staff, as well as to some of their clients. And so the fact that we could step in and provide those kind of services.
So you're doing this for them, or you're teaching them how to do this on their own?
We actually deliver those services for them.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So now, are you drawn to specific causes, or do you try to create partnerships with associations that deal with a whole bunch of causes, or what's your strategy in that regard?
Yeah, it's a great question. Our service model, we have a three-pronged approach.
That was a great question.
It was a great question.
It was fantastic.
It was phenomenal, that question was. Our service model is we try to provide three levels of training support to nonprofits. Mm-hmm. We provide client service support. That means we provide workforce readiness training to the clients of our nonprofit partners.
Right, like your client's client.
That's exactly right, the client's client.
Right.
We provide employee development support to our nonprofit's staff. So mm-hmm. people on the staff who need training and development needs,
right.
We provide that kind of support. And then we provide what you would traditionally think about from a community involvement perspective to our members is just traditional service events like going out and volunteering one day to do something really good in the community.
Cool.
So the folks back at the day job, Are they embracing this? Or are they like, where's Jennifer? I need to talk to Jennifer. Where is she playing golf? What's that? Are they behind you on this thing? Are they supporting this?
Absolutely. Georgia yep. Pacific is a really strong community partner, not only in the state of Georgia, but certainly across the United States. And so absolutely really excited about my participation here. Thanks for asking.
So now how do you decide which nonprofit to choose? Aren't they all clamoring for this kind of attention and support?
Well, we actually have kind of just launched the program maybe a couple of years ago. So we started with some that we knew about and where we had some relationships, like mm-hmm. Habitat for Humanity and the Atlanta Community Food Bank. And this year we've branched out to a couple of other new organizations, and some folks from the team here are going to talk about some of those relationships.
How about the Peyton College Fund Association? Yes, I'd like
you know
to introduce
what?
You to that
I'm gonna
board.
I'm going to check on my list and see.
We need less support in instructional design and training than maybe just pure cash.
I got it. I got it.
We can talk about that after this.
Well, let me be clear. One of the goals of the work is to focus on very specific, time-bound, strategic initiatives for those nonprofits. That's the way we...
That's how you keep score?
That's exactly right.
Well, in that vein, though, I'm sure it feels good, but how do you go about measuring your effectiveness? And is there some formal process where you're asking these folks to feed back what they're learning to you?
I think a couple of things. One, when we look at a partnership, we use a criteria that helps us discern whether or not we think we're a good match for each other, right? Mm-hmm. Do we have a kind of shared mission and a vision? Do those fit with one another? Have we identified a T&D need that we can help with? One of the things we don't want to do is to replace what could be a full-time position for someone, right? We don't want to take a paid position away.
Right, absolutely.
So that's important. We do want to work with organizations who have a pretty good track record fiscally, right, as well as in the community. And we believe that there's a way for us to sustain those programs over time. So that's kind of the criteria we use as we start to talk to organizations about supporting them.
Now, are you seeing a consistent theme in the content areas, or is it just all over the map in terms of the content of the training you're being asked to deliver?
I think we see a varied number of those kinds of things. As we look at the model where we look at client services, we notice that we've got a lot of folks who have clients who are trying to retool themselves for this new economy and build up their skill sets in order to be more marketable. So we find ourselves working a lot in that space. When we do the employee development work, we find it's the basics that I think happen in time management, negotiation skills, presentation skills. Again, those are really key tools for nonprofits to engage in, but sometimes they don't have the strong skills there. So those seem to be some recurring themes we're starting right. to notice.
Now, is there any similarity between a for-profit business and their training and development and a nonprofit? Like, do you train a nonprofit different if it's an all-volunteer staff as you would if it's a, you know, if it's a paid staff, they have to be there. You know, they're going to show up every day. Volunteers are, you know, you hope they show up and you want them to show up. But, you know, it's more, it's a little trickier. Is there different ways of going about it from a training development standpoint?
You know, I haven't seen that big of a difference in terms of us delivering training to the nonprofit organizations mm-hmm. because they have paid staff employees.
Right.
So they have to be there as well, right?
Right, so they're there.
Absolutely. But we do sometimes find when we do client services training, when it's free and you don't have to pay for it, sometimes people don't... they don't always show up.
They don't appreciate it.
They don't appreciate it.
You know, I think sometimes they just have lots of lists of things to do, and right. it maybe doesn't make the list that day.
So what's next for you guys? Do you have upcoming events, either that you're doing directly or on behalf of some of these clients that our listeners should know about?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, again, mentioned we're working with Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. We've got a computer basic training class coming up in April, at the end of April. Come the spring, we're going to be working with the Atlanta Community Food Bank on, surprisingly, a school supply drive, right? Mm-hmm. Normally we think about them for food, but they also find that they have a lot of their clients who need, kids need school supplies. And so right. we're going to be working on those efforts. And then I'm going to let my colleagues talk about the kinds of things that we're doing with them at the Georgia Center for Nonprofit and with Goodwill.
So before we let you go, how can our listeners get more involved? What's the best way for them to reach out and communicate with you?
Yeah. So If you go to our site, astdatlanta.org, and on to the main website, if you go down to community involvement and you click on the link there, there you will find a list of activities that we've either been involved in, so you'll get to see some past activities to see what kind of fun we have, as well as a calendar of events of things coming up for the year. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. And with your permission, what I think I'd like to do, Lee, let's leave your mic open.
Okay.
And so, you know, in case these guys aren't as smart as you, we might need it. But we'd like for you to contribute to that conversation, too, if it's appropriate. But we'd like for you to hang out with us for a while. Can you do that?
Absolutely, certainly. My
Terrific.
Pleasure.
Lee, Mr. Wright is in the house.
All right.
Mr. Lannis Wright, he is with the Georgia Center for Nonprofits. Welcome to the show, man.
Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I can honestly say he's the best dressed individual
by
in the
far.
Studio this morning. You didn't get the memo, huh?
About it's radio. It's radio. You don't have to work that hard in radio.
I'm trying to shine through my voice.
So give us a little bit of a feel for mission and purpose for Georgia Center for Nonprofits.
Great. Georgia Center for Nonprofits is an organization that does exactly what its name says. We support nonprofits across the state in a variety of ways through consulting services, training and professional development. We also provide member services as well. My particular area in the nonprofit university revolves around training, and we have three tiers of training, subject matter expertise, training that involves advocacy, fundraising, volunteerism, board governance, et cetera. We also have a great deal of focus on leadership training. I know when you talk to Jennifer about the difference between training in nonprofits versus corporate, even in higher ed, there are a lot of similarities, and we have a lot of focus on leadership development training. And a third leg is conferences. We do annual conferences, quarterly conferences, so that people who don't have time to perhaps get away from work and give up 4 to 8 hours a day, they can designate a particular time and a particular time of the season and come out for 1 or 2 days and gain a lot of knowledge.
So there's leadership development training, and then there's training in all these specific disciplines. I would think
Correct.
Things like grant writing and how to even just get on the radar of a foundation, these are very critical to
Absolutely.
Your community, right?
Absolutely. And we when we do that kind of training, we do it in a unique way. So we bring people in and not just train them on how to write grants and the techniques and the organizations they need to be approaching. Generally, we'll bring key stakeholders into the room in a panel discussion so that when they submit their grants, these people are telling them, when I receive grants, these are the things that I'm looking for. These are the things that will make me say no. These are the things that might help me to say yes. And people find a lot of value in that.
You think?
No, that's fantastic. I mean, that's real world there.
Right. So now, do you have any secrets you want to share about that? Because that's a little intrigued by that. There are certain things that you can say or write that'll be like, they're not even going to pay attention?
Exactly. And here's the one thing we always suggest. Pick up the phone. Make a phone call to the organization you're trying to approach. That's
right.
The one thing people say that's like, maybe they're too busy, or they're getting calls from everyone, so I don't want to bother them. I just want to follow this template.
Because they just give you a form, right?
Exactly.
And you're just filling out a form. You have no idea what they really,
exactly.
really want.
Exactly. And you'd be surprised at how open they are to accepting a phone call, setting up a meeting.
Like, that's not cheating.
It's not cheating at all. But the biggest thing that a lot of donors say is actually missing is that people will come to them from a lot of different directions.
Right.
And they'll say, I wonder why this organization is not talking to that organization, partnering, and writing a proposal together and submitting that. And that's one of the biggest gaps.
Because so, like, if you're a donor and you have organization A that's doing something about one subject matter, and organization B that's maybe in the same area.
Exactly.
And maybe they know each other, maybe they don't. And the donor could say no to both of them, whereas if they join forces, they might say yes to both of them.
Greater likelihood of getting a yes, absolutely.
Wow. But the donor doesn't take the time to match them up, right, because they're busy doing other
things.
That's not their role.
Exactly.
Right. Wow.
So is that you guys downtown with the Resource Center? Is that your outfit?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we moved about a year and a half ago. We were in the Hurt Building, and the Resource Center is in that Hurt Building.
Okay.
We moved across the street, literally across the park. We're in an Equitable Building right now on the 15th floor.
But what a fantastic resource. It's like a little library, and you can go and you can check
Absolutely.
Out stuff. That's a fantastic
Absolutely.
Resource. That's incredible. And so you're across the street now. Is the resource center still in the herd, or the whole thing's moved?
Everything
over to
is still there. That's the one thing we couldn't pick up and take along with
right.
us.
So. All right. So, but it's all right there.
It's all right there.
So, what kind of events do you guys have? Do you have monthly gatherings or?
Absolutely. We have
bottomless shrimp bowls. Like that.
There's always ongoing training. We do about 200 training sessions a year, again, on the topics that I mentioned before.
Wow.
We have quarterly conferences that take place actually across the country. The last one we had was actually in Atlanta. And then, of course, we have an annual conference that we call the Summit that's taking place this upcoming May on the 21st and the 22nd. So we're excited about that. We're also upgrading our technology so that a lot of the things that we do in Atlanta, we can push out across the state, because we recognize that people who are in Macon, Savannah, Columbus may not have the resources, the funds, et cetera, to come up here. And so we're going to be able to push that out to them, and hopefully they'll be able to gain a lot of knowledge from the stuff that we provide.
Is there organizations like yours in every state, or is this something unique to Georgia?
Very unique. When I came on board, that was one of the first things I did was sort of do an environmental scan across the United
right.
States. I think the only other organization that exists that does anything close to what we're doing at the Georgia Center for Nonprofits is located in Florida. So we're hoping that in the next 2 to 3 years, our model can grow and we'll become a regional center.
So speak, if you would, a little bit more to the relationship with ASTD. Help us understand how that piece works.
Well, it's a perfect relationship, particularly from my perspective.
Jennifer just jumped out of her chair and high-fived.
As a director of nonprofit university, it's important to me to make sure that we bring our members quality training and professional development. And we recognize that they have not as many resources as a corporate partner may have. And so we partner with ASTD, and they are helping to provide us with great content, great facilitation. I always, when I kick off each class and people want to know, well, who is this person standing in front of me? What are their credentials? And oftentimes I'll say, if you go out and Google this person and you look for a course that may be facilitating for another entity, you're getting that same content here, that same value, that same expertise at a rate that is accommodating to you and your organization. And they really, really appreciate that. It's all about the quality of content, and ASTD is helping us to provide that.
And do you have a membership model? So like if Lee and I had a nonprofit where we, and this may happen one day because we both have a real passion for it, to support young people in entrepreneurial pursuits, if we were to go do the 501(c)(3) thing, all that stuff, is there some sort of membership structure and then we kind of get folded into your community and we get a chance to go through this whole process?
Absolutely. And the important thing is we support organizations that are as large as organizations like the American Cancer Society. Mm-hmm. And then there are organizations where there are only two people doing everything.
That's about us. Yeah, you're in the ballpark now.
That sounds like us.
And actually on our website, we have a startup kit. And if you don't quite know where to start, you're welcome to literally come down to our office, have a consultation session, and we'll give you some direction on where to go. As a matter of fact, we work with a partner that's across the street in the Hurt Building, and they have a model that allows you to answer a few questions. The output is kind of funny. I think they put it in layman's term. It'll tell you whether you need to move forward with your nonprofit, perhaps look for a day job.
That's funny. So if there are people out there, and I'm sure there are some, who are subject matter experts, and they just want to help, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, Lee is a great juggler. But yes. No,
is there a need for that?
But if they really want to help, maybe they really are particularly adept at grant writing and have a real track record for that, or they really do have, you know, they've written a couple of books on leadership and they're a professor over here. Is there a way for them to connect with you and get involved and maybe have an opportunity to participate in helping deliver the curriculum, or at least equipping you to deliver more and more curriculum?
Absolutely. And that follows the line of our relationship with ASTD. We have a lot of people in the community at various levels who have great skills, great expertise, and they will contact us. For me, I'm quick plug, www.nonprofituniversity.org. And they will come to us and say, hey, I'm not looking to be compensated. I just want to give back to my community. I'm adept at grant writing. I'm good at board governance. I'm good at volunteerism. I'm willing to volunteer X amount of hours of my time. Help me to do that. And we match them up with the right entity within our organization, and we make it happen.
Now, you had mentioned earlier, like, the donors don't like to be the matchmaker with the different nonprofits. So you guys don't mind being a matchmaker?
Not at all.
So are you constantly looking for nonprofits to help? Like, what's your when you're out there on a day-to-day basis, you're looking, you want more nonprofits to kind of work with you so you can help educate them, to help them do their, you know, achieve their mission?
Absolutely. So we, at the Georgia Center for Nonprofits, we have about 1,200 member organizations that support over 5,000 individuals.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a robust database currently, and we're also aware of all the nonprofits that, that exist across the state that may not be members of our orgs. So if we have a donor that says, hey, I have funds that I'd like to contribute to some organization that supports
disabled children,
exactly,
or trees or whatever their interest
is. Exactly.
You can go, you know what? I got three people, you know, three organizations, and let me connect you.
Absolutely.
Jennifer, you have a question?
Yeah, well, I wanted to mention, I think one of the other things that we were really excited about our partnership with Georgia Center for Nonprofit is because we have geographic interest groups across the state of Georgia. So
right.
You heard Delanis mention Macon and Savannah and Columbus and Athens. And so we have membership chapters in those cities as well. And so our goal was not only to help them expand their reach here in Atlanta, but to use that, our leverage of our membership in those other cities to help him to extend his reach. So we're really excited about being able to engage our membership in some of the other
cities.
Right,
because it expands both of your footprints.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
What a great partnership.
We think so.
We're excited.
It worked out pretty well for both of them, I think.
So for our listeners out there still looking for Mr. Wright, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
You can start out by going to our website again. That's www.nonprofituniversity.org, and it's spelled just like it sounds. Or you can reach me directly at lwright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at gcn.org.
All right. Terrific. And like we asked Jennifer, if you would, can we just keep your mic open and keep you in the conversation?
Absolutely.
All right. Terrific. Well, last up on this special edition of Atlanta Business Radio, we have Miss Cindy Smith, and she's here representing Goodwill of North Georgia, and we want to hear a little bit more about what's happening over there. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm not exactly representing Goodwill, but what ASTD Atlanta has formed is a partnership with Goodwill of North Georgia, and we have an actual project that began in January, and it's doing remarkably well. Can't be any more pleased. We have 16 volunteers. We have our courses in development, and this project began after my personal volunteering with Goodwill of North Georgia in a rural location near Gainesville, and I was very shocked in a way at how many people did not have computer skills and were afraid of getting on the computer. And that is the talent I brought to that particular situation. And so the career manager looked at me in the eyes and said, do you want to teach a basic computer skills class? And I said, sure, okay. And that's how it was born for me, and then this particular class and idea. And then after a couple of years of teaching this class, I had the idea and was with ASTD Atlanta, and said, you know, Goodwill's mission is putting people back to work. ASTD Atlanta and ASTD is about workplace learning and performance. And so those two match, and we can form a partnership. And it's kind of like, I hate to say it this way, but kind of cloning yourself and, you know, basically spreading this because there is such a need. I just was shocked at such a need out there. And so this grew. And we developed the partnership. We have a project. I'm a co-chair along with Carrie Garback, who is my other partner in crime. And this project is, like I said, we have 16 volunteers. We love our volunteers. They are terrific. Couldn't ask for a better team. We have four courses in draft form already. And the goals that we have set is, number one, to provide course developers to develop courses for Goodwill of North Georgia, aiming at putting people back to work. So we're developing those kind of work skills. And then not only create the courses, but provide volunteer facilitators to teach those courses at 7 Goodwill Career Center locations in the area for Goodwill of North Georgia. And to the listeners need to be aware that there are different Goodwill organizations. And Goodwill of North Georgia has a particular territory up here. It will not probably include Macon, but it will include the greater Atlanta area up to near Gainesville, Rome, Athens, and those areas. You can look them up on the website for Goodwill of North Georgia, which is www.goodwillng.org. And
she did that from memory for our listeners. She wasn't looking at a paper at all.
That was impressive.
That was very impressive. So how long have you been involved then with this project or with Goodwill in North Georgia?
Probably about 8 months.
About 8 months?
Uh-huh.
And did you say like some 16 volunteers? Are you finding yourself in the position of managing these volunteers? And the reason I'm asking is that's got to be a real challenge.
Yes, and yes.
Right? Because you're not paying. Speak to that a little bit, if you will. That's got to be a real challenge.
It's exciting. It's fun. I do instructional design, so I've worked at home, and I have had flexible hours for probably the last 10 years working around different gigs that I will have. And that allows me to, I kind of have time that either I'm not available or I'm totally available, and I just use that time when I do.
So it is, it's a time, because I've had very flexible hours since my uncle fired me 25 years ago, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But I haven't spent it trying to manage volunteers. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I'm seeking help, and I actually have found a little help, so that's good.
And I'll say Cindy does an exceptional job. I think you've well mentioned before, when someone has a passion for the work, that comes through and you somehow find the energy. So I'm continuing to be impressed with the level of work and effort that she and her team are putting into getting those courses up and running for Goodwill. It is absolutely outstanding.
So now,
thank you.
When you're doing the courses, how do you choose which course to develop?
Okay, that's one of those good questions. Another one.
It wasn't a great question.
It was a great question, yes. I'm putting it in the great category. The courses are given to us in a form. It's kind of like a title and a couple of learning points. And the beauty and wonder of this for me, especially in the training and development field, is to be creative and be able to take these and do what we want. We really have a lot of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can really design these courses to meet the needs, to be successful, and do what we think we need to do to help those participants. And what we're aiming at and starting small with are a few computer courses, because
right.
that was the initial need and such a great need. Today, to get a job, you need to know how to use a computer and get online.
Right, absolutely.
Use email, have email, get on the internet.
Juggling's pretty far down on the list, I would suspect.
I noticed that.
I'm sure you'll get there eventually, but it's probably not top priority.
I don't think we're going to have juggling classes, no. They do have cooking classes and nutrition.
Really? But because we get a lot of people in here, we interview a lot of business people, and I'll tell you, the IT people, they're saying there's no unemployment crisis for them. That they have as many jobs as they can fill when it comes to IT positions.
Oh, yeah. They're hungry for specific right. skills inside that IT environment.
Are you using those kind of industries and firms that are looking or hungry for this kind of the talent? Is that how you build the courses? Is that where you start? Or are you just kind of saying, okay, we need, you know, the baby step here is just general computer skills, and then the people maybe who have an affinity to that maybe want to learn more, then you can kind of point them in that direction?
Let me tell you a little bit about the participants, which may help you with that. The kind of participants that we have, which are Goodwill clientele, are very maybe perhaps low income,
uh-huh.
Lower educated,
right.
handicapped,
mm-hmm.
Veterans.
Right.
So we have a mix. And we also have the Goodwill Career Centers are a place for anybody in the public to go to. So there's going to be a mix of people, of participants at
that's
a Goodwill Career Center.
That's going to be hard to design to. I'm married to an instructional designer, and I don't know much about it formally, but that's going to be hard to design to meet such a mixed group like that.
It is, but one of the particular things we're doing is not meeting everybody's need. We're targeting a particular population.
Uh-huh.
And this course is, we are building a set of courses, and one of the things we hope to do is create a set of prerequisites and a path, and hopefully maybe in the future we have a few plans of leading to certifications of some sort for employers to know the skill level of the people who need these
jobs.
That's
a great idea.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Because I think that probably is what started it, right, Cindy, was donors and sponsors of Goodwill saying to Goodwill, we want to be able to recruit your talent, but we need to have them to have some basic skills, right?
Right.
We're happy to support them, but they've got to come in the door with some basic
and
skills.
And ready to go.
That's exactly
then,
right.
So this way you guys can work together, ASTD and the Goodwill can work together and get these people trained up so that they can just get in there and start working.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
it.
People will be more apt to hire them.
That's exactly that, right.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And one of the beauties is we do have such a population, so we can hopefully meet those 7 Career Center locations and teach a number of classes. I'm hoping to be able to have a class every week so people can retain learning and actually continue and build on what they've learned. And hopefully this will move them forward in the future. What we're talking about are people who, a lot of them have been in manufacturing for years. They're looking at going for an office position, truck driving. You know, these are people who really have had some hard knocks and have had some issues in life. And one of the things we're working at with the courses is we're writing at about a 9th grade reading level.
Mm-hmm.
So that will give you the idea.
Right.
And these are 2-hour courses.
Now, so they go through the courses. Are you finding that the participants are just hungry for this information, or they get frustrated by it? How are they?
They are definitely hungry for it. They are so thankful for it. Occasionally you get somebody a little frustrated, but they get, you know, they're okay a little bit later. But I've had such feedback. I mean, you can tell when you look into somebody's eyes that you have made a difference, and that is phenomenal. And I hope that is what a lot of our volunteers will experience.
Right, because that's the paycheck they're getting, that look in the eyes.
Yes.
Well, I do think that's part of it, but I have a question actually to wrap up with all three of you. And I'm going to start with you, Cindy. Obviously, community involvement is very good for the soul, but is it good business? Is it good for business?
It's fantastic business. I'm sitting in here at a radio broadcast, right? And I'm gaining experience with this. I'm gaining experience managing all those facilitators and other volunteers. So this is definitely a step forward. ASTD provides a lot of that help. Definitely worthwhile. It may not be monetary right now in this place, but it builds toward that path for later.
Lannis, you agree?
Great business. One thing that when I come to work every day and do what I do, and I love training and professional development, but I know that I'm doing something with a purpose. And so everyone that sits in one of my classrooms, I know that they're going back out to support other people across the state of Georgia, and that is so satisfying. And so it's definitely worth it. I'm always excited, always geeked, and definitely.
So good for the good for the Georgia Pacific brand, good for the Jennifer brand. Is it good business?
I think it's definitely good business all around. Again, we go back to the mission of ASTD, really around supporting workforce readiness and workplace learning. And we hear so many statistics around people being underemployed, that they, because of the economy, people are transitioning into new skills and employers really wanting to hire, but people not having the skills. And to have an organization that can reach out to the community and provide them and equip them with the skills in order to make them marketable, whether you're inside today and you need to retool for the next job up, or you're outside trying to get inside, it's great for business. Absolutely.
And then it kind of reinforces that in today's world, you better be a lifetime learner, right? Like, it's not that it stops at high school, it stops at college. You better be learning all the time.
Absolutely. Lifelong learning is extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we wrap, and we'll start with you, Jennifer, let's make sure one more time that our listeners know how to get in touch with everybody.
Absolutely. So for ASTD, if they go to www.astdatlanta.org, there you can find a host of activities that we do on the web. And if you want to reach me, I'm jennifer.williams@atlantaastd.org.
Terrific. And Lannis?
To reach me, you can go to www.nonprofituniversity.org. Again, it's spelled just like it sounds. If you want to reach me directly, you can reach me at lwright@gcn.org. And we're here to boost performance and maximize impact.
Terrific. And Miss Cindy.
And any volunteers listening to this broadcast can go to the ASTD Atlanta website. They can click on, in the left column, there's a how to get involved in the list. Click it, go to volunteer opportunities, and you'll see a little blurb about how to volunteer with the Goodwill of North Georgia Project. And my email address and Carrie Garback's email address are at the bottom of that list. Send us an email. Let us know that you want to be involved. Volunteers can also be started through our SIGs and GIGs and chapter meetings. Go ahead and find a flyer, find one of the leaders present, and make sure that we know of your interest. And send us an email. My email is training5050@gmail.com. And I know that is listed in many documents in many places, so I'm sure people can find me.
Now, what was the website for Goodwill again?
Goodwill is at www.goodwillng.org.
Great. All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and the rest of our guests. This is another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next week.